Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening.
You broke up. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. It's just been an unusual day with all that's going on in the world.
Hello.
Hey, Martha.
Hello.
Hello.
Just really trying to get on.
We can't say
hi. How do you
feel? Oh, anyways.
That's what happens when you have such beautiful weather.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm.
So let us begin.
Okay.
We're in section 7 from the Salam commentary on Parasha Vayera. We're going to start with Pasuk 100, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kutcha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urchimu, Udkilu, Udkilu, Urchimu. Le'akta, L'shem Yehud, Bavate, the Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'sof Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kanunei aleinu maasei yadeinu kanuneihu. Kegav nadav itweita tzvav al mitzkot ha'anashim hua amai tarikin ela begin dihinun la yadei. Elamad deitz mesar lon leminda egon kolinun milin zamin uchabrihu veaita al alma umemtets begin de kucha Barichu ha'avar ha'roza kekalho Rekin b'ha'hiyo mila d'zamin Le'ata'a al-alma. The translation. This is similar to the text. And set a mark upon the foreheads of the men. Why do the angels need this mark? Because the angels know only what they are informed of. For example, how do they know that all that the Holy One, blessed be He, plans on doing in the world? They know because the Holy One, blessed be He, sends announcements throughout the heavens, informing them of what He is about to perform in the world. The angels hear these announcements and know. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlak's comments. Is Hashem in every being, in every angel, in every human, in every animal, in every plant, in every insect? Does this voice issue from within each part of ourselves? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Okay, I think Hashem, I know Hashem is in everything. A portion of Him is in everything. And I do think that the voice issues from within ourselves if we listen.
Anybody else want to comment?
I was thinking, why wasn't the mark put on the first board from yesterday? Because it was only Hashem that could distinguish between the sperm and the firstborn. Well, why couldn't they have been marked?
And they are marked, but it's marked as microscopic level.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's why we have letters on our head that certain people can read.
Correct. That's what this is describing.
Okay.
The mark that's on foreheads of the men, which is basically various letters that are can be observed as part of the forehead of a person.
Okay. I remember when I was studying Shabbat, this had to be before 1993 because I retired from teaching in 1993. And I was studying Shabbat because wondering if that would help me know to take a sabbatical rather than retire. And when I did the study, that's when I really saw Shabbat, you know, because it was, it just was. But anyway, what I saw was one of the signs was someone, it was the person who was observing Shabbat. That was the mark. That was, well, one of the marks, let me put it that way. Now, that was a long time ago, but I hope I'm voicing it the way I received it. You know, from just reading everything I could find scripture-wise and taking a concordance and reading everything I could about Shabbat from the Torah. And it was the Torah at that time, so... that was one of the signs too.
was a mark on the forehead, right?
I don't know if it was on the forehead. I just remember it was a sign. Well, you know how we sing the Bishamp, the sign between you and me. You know, we sing it every Shabbat
before
Kiddush and Motzi. In other words, it's one of the signs, one who honors the Shabbat.
Correct.
That may not be the one on the forehead. That may be referencing when one of the angels was measuring the temple. But I'm not sure. I'd have to go back to Yezkel.
No, I understand. No, it's in the Zohar specifically what the mark is on the various foreheads. And one of them is that he's keeping the Shabbat properly.
Okay, and then there's also another that says it's the letter Tav, which would represent something, I'm sure, with that being the final letter of the alphabet, but with its foot pointing back to Aleph. You know, the end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end.
Right. We read that about the top in the Zohar in an earlier section. I think it was in Bereshit.
Yeah.
But it might have been in Noah. It might have been an indication the top is top on the forehead is an indication of a tzaddik, but I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. And then wasn't a mark put on Cain so no one would kill him?
That's correct. But that would have been, there are people who say that mark is the pigmentation of the skin.
Okay.
But I have not I have not read that in the Zohar, so I don't know if that's it, but you know, it's part of a midrash.
Well, I haven't gotten deep enough into the face reading, but, you know, how you have a wrinkle over the right eye or something on the forehead, you know.
Yes.
So, and it just dawned on me, a wrinkle, horizontal wrinkle would be a Vav laying down.
That's correct.
And the one above your nose, your two little smileys when you... smile or frown could be two more Bobs, but this time vertical. Oh, boy.
You've seen people with lines, vertical lines, just they go on either side of your nose, but they're on the forehead. and they combine into one line, and then it becomes two lines around the top of your nose. You've seen people like that. And that's literally an upside-down Y in English letters, but in the Hebrew letters, it's a tzadi, an upside-down tzadi, representing a righteous person.
Oh, okay.
Pasuk 101, unless there's more comments.
Well, I'm also thinking because of the birds, you know. And years ago, Rabbi Zadok had a tape out, and we've mentioned it before in class, that Hashem speaks and the angels hear the announcement of who's going to pass away in 30 days, and then the angels tell the birds, and the birds are tweeting. So when I have birds around me, when I hear birds chirping, I always sing out something positive that matches the rhythm. You know, like if it's tweet, tweet, and then
yeah,
I say, good morning. I make it feel positive. It makes me feel better since I need that.
Well, Hashem. No, what Rabbi Bar Sadak said about
the
30 days before somebody passes away. Excuse me. In the Torah, in Genesis, it speaks of the Tzelem Elohim. And that gets translated usually as a shadow, but it's 30 days before someone passes away, their shadow leaves, their tzelem leaves. And you can notice it. We look for it on Hoshanah Rabbah, but it happens every full moon. You can take a look at it every full moon to see if that person is going to pass away in the next 30 days, except that nobody's going to make the effort to do it all that often.
Well, I always felt like I didn't want to know that information.
Pasuk 101. Kegavna da b'shata dimcha b'la ishtecha Be'almah be'ebar nash le'itkasya ve'teya V'la yitchaze b'shuka Ve'gin de'la yitchabel Kedavar acher v'atem lo Teitu ish mipetach beito ad boker Minai hu v'yakil l'istatra Ein aval b'mikamai Tuchabrichu labaye l'istatra maketiv Im yisater ish b'mistarim Wa ani lo erenu ne'um Hashem. The translation. In the same way, when the angel of destruction roams the world, people should hide at home and not be seen at the marketplace. This will prevent the angel of destruction from destroying and hurting them. As it is written, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Because from them, from the angels, we can and should hide. But there is no need to hide from the Holy One, blessed be he. As it is written, Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Says Hashem. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The angel of destruction requires to perceive whom he takes. Thus he is as limited as humans. Yet humans can achieve the ability to perceive all knowledge. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Very applicable to today.
Very true. It makes you think twice today if you're going to go to the market or not.
You know, it says, and none shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Is the reason because morning is kesed, loving kindness, and afternoons are judgment?
Correct.
Okay.
But at the time of the redemption, the Jews were told to stay indoors because the angel of death had been given permission to kill all that he saw.
Oh, goodness.
But he's only given that permission for a limited time. And in that case, it was just that one night.
There's a saying, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. If you're out in the rain, you're going to get rained upon. I know Tony was going early morning to the store for about an hour to get what little bit, you know, so he wouldn't be at the store very long.
Right.
And yesterday he left at 6:30, and he said, well, there's no Scott there. There's nobody, you know. And he said within 10 minutes the store was full.
Right.
And now they're even telling the elderly to go between 7 and 8 o'clock to the store. So now, even early morning, the stores are full. So, I agree, people will not go to the store anymore. That was, so. We'll get other people
into it. It's the time of judgment in the world.
Right.
That doesn't mean that in daylight, we still have chesed, but it's relative chesed.
Well, I thought it was very nice because last night I got a text from my granddaughter saying, you know, that she would drop anything we needed. Then the neighbor across the street came just a while ago and said she would be gone, and she would be gone in early morning in a particular store that she finds that is not crowded at that time, and for us not to get out, you know. So right at the time that I said, okay, no more. We've got enough stuff at the house. Don't have to. So, it worked out.
Hashem provided, you know that.
It's only
it's lovely to see people doing it.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's the idea, the consciousness I have to keep, is that we're doing what the rules are coming from, I'm going to call it the government, you know. We're keeping
right.
Our certain, we use the tools, and we're really trusting Hashem to do exactly what he did when the children crossed to Yom Suf. And they didn't have to do anything, except Moses raised his hand and his ask, but at the same time, just to be prepared. That's to say that we're following the rules of the land like everybody else. That keeps that thing is, you know, going to be all right.
It is.
And I already saw, even last night, my grandson wanting all my lessons I've taught. Send them to me, Grandma. Even if I don't understand them, I will one day, and I'll have them. So, I mean, that's enough to get that
loud. That's enough to quell, is the Yiddish word.
Yeah.
We really don't have enough time to do the next one, so we'll call the class now.
Okay. Okay.
And,
For the question and answer, would you tell
yes.
us the rules or what we need? How do we know that it's okay to add a number for the kollel to a word? Is it any word, or does it? Is are there certain rules? And we just haven't had a chance to go to the alphabet. We can have to look it up for ourselves.
I'll take a stab at trying to explain that.
Okay.
So it's really an excellent question, and it's important that it get answered. But I'm not sure I'm able to, but I'll do my best.
Okay. Well, Brandy and I were doing a gematria, and I had to say, well, if it's allowed, the number we were looking at was 53, but my card was 54, had a lot more on it. And so we were wondering if we could add the kollel to that word, and that was the reason for us, and I wanted to not forget it, and since Brandy's on, I thought, I'd warn
you. Well, I can tell you that's not a reason to add the kollel, but I'll explain to you what my understanding of it is.
Okay, good. Okay.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
You have a beautiful afternoon or evening, and we'll
okay.
speak
okay.
soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.